Hey guys, this is Vyom Joshi with Superior North. Welcome back to my channel. Today, we will be talking about Northrop Grumman, which is an American multinational aerospace and defense technology company. It is also one of the world's largest weapons manufacturer and providers. In this video, we will be talking about the company's business by going over its annual report, then review the company's fundamentals by focusing on its key ratios, and finally find the intrinsic value of the company. So let's dive in and review Northrop Grumman.
Hey guys, let's start off by looking at the Form 10-K, which is the annual report that Northrop Grumman filed with the SEC. This is for the fiscal year that ended December 31st, 2021. And on page 4 of this report, the company starts off by talking about its business. Northrop Grumman Corporation is a leading global aerospace and defense company. It delivers a broad range of products, services, and solutions to the U.S. and international customers, and principally to the U.S. Department of Defense, DoD, and intelligence community. Northrop Grumman is a leading provider of space systems, advanced aircrafts, missile defense, advanced weapon and long-range fire capabilities, mission systems, networking and communications, strategic deterrent systems, and breakthrough technologies such as artificial intelligence, advanced computing, and cyber. Next, the company talks about its four reportable segments, which are aeronautics systems, defense systems, mission systems, and space systems. First is the aeronautics systems, which is a leader in the design, development, production, integration, sustainment, and modernization of advanced aircraft systems for the U.S. Air Force, the U.S. Navy, and other U.S. government agencies and international customers. These aircraft support four mission areas, which is strike, air dominance, battle management and control, and intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance. Aeronautics Systems is reported in two business areas, which are its autonomous systems and manned aircrafts. The autonomous systems provides unmanned autonomous aircraft systems, and the manned aircraft provide strategic long-range strike aircrafts, tactical fighters, and air dominance aircrafts. The second reportable segment is the defense systems segment, which is a leader in the design, development, production, integration, sustainment, and modernization of weapons and mission systems for U.S. military and civil agency customers and a broad range of international customers. Major products and services include integrated battle management systems, weapon systems, and aircraft and mission system sustainment and modernization. The defense systems has two business areas, which are battle management and missile systems and mission readiness. The battle management and missile systems designs, develops, and integrates multi-domain command and control C2 and weapon systems. Mission readiness, on the other hand, provides full lifecycle service and support for software, weapon systems, and aircrafts, logistics support, and so forth. The third reportable segment is the mission systems segment, which is a leader in advanced mission solutions and multifunction systems, primarily for the U.S. defense and intelligence community and international customers. Major products and services include cyber, command, control, communications and computers, intelligence, surveillance and reconnaissance systems, radar, electronic warfare systems, advanced communication and network systems, cyber solutions, and so forth. This segment has four business areas: airborne multifunction sensors, maritime land systems and sensors, navigation, targeting and survivability, and network information solutions. The fourth and last business segment is the space systems segment, which is a leader in delivering end-to-end mission solutions through the design, development, integration, production, and operation of space, missile defense, launch, and strategic missile systems for national security, civil government, commercial, and international customers. Major products include satellites and payloads, ground systems, missile defense systems and interceptors, launch vehicles and related propulsion systems, and strategic missiles. The space systems segment has two business areas, launch and strategic missiles, and space. Now let's look at the customer concentration. The company points out that its largest customer is the U.S. government. Sales to the U.S. government accounted for 85%, 84%, and 83% of its sales during the years ending December 31st, 2021, 2020, and 2019, respectively. When it comes to Northrop Grumman's competition, the Boeing Company, General Dynamics, L3Harris Technologies, Lockheed Martin, Raytheon Technologies are some of its primary competitors. Now let's go to page 87 of this report, where the company provides us more detail about its segment information. In this table here, we can see that for the fiscal year 2021, the total sales amounted to about $36 billion. The aeronautics systems brought in about $11 billion. The defense system brought in about $6 billion. Mission systems brought in about $10 billion, and space systems brought in about $11 billion. So when it comes to the dollar amount, the aeronautics systems brings in most amount of revenue, followed by the space systems, mission systems, and defense systems. When we look at the operating income, an operating income is the amount of money that's left with the company once it subtracts the cost of goods and operating expenses from the company's sales numbers. For the fiscal year 2021, the aeronautics systems had about $1 billion in operating income. The defense systems was at about $696 million. The mission systems was at $1.6 billion. Space systems was about $1.1 billion. And the total intersegment operating income was about $4.2 billion. So if you look at the operating margin, which is the ratio of the segment's operating income to its sales, the mission systems has the best operating margin of about 15%, followed by the defense system, which is about 12%. Northrop Grumman's total operating income for the fiscal year 2021 was about $5.6 billion. In 2020, it was about $4 billion. And in 2019, it was about $3.9 billion. So Northrop Grumman's operating income has been trending upwards over the past 3 years. On the next page, the company talks about its sales by customer type. For the fiscal year 2021, for the aeronautics systems segment, the U.S. government accounted for about 85% of that segment's sales. For the defense systems, the U.S. government accounted for about 62% of that segment's sales. The international in that segment was about 23%. For the mission systems segment, the U.S. government accounted for about 71% of that segment's sales. And for the space systems, the U.S. government accounted for about 93% of that segment's sales. When we look at the total sales numbers, the U.S. government accounted for about 85% of the company's 2021 sales numbers. On the next page, the company provides us information about sales by its contract type. We can think about the COSTAP contract as one where the payment that Northrop Grumman receives would depend on the cost that it takes the company to deliver the product. In other words, if the company's costs are about $100, then the customer would pay that cost plus a little bit of fee to Northrop Grumman. So financially, it is a lot safer for the company. However, it has a lower profit margin as compared to the fixed price, which is a pre-negotiated price that Northrop Grumman and a customer have. Financially, fixed price contracts are a lot riskier because if Northrop Grumman were to go overboard and exceed its cost, then it is still stuck with getting that fixed price and it has to eat up that additional cost and expenses. However, if Northrop Grumman were to control its costs, then the profit margin associated with fixed price contracts are a lot higher than that seen with the cost type contracts. For the fiscal year 2021, 49% of the aeronautics system segment were cost type and 51% were fixed price. For the defense systems, 35% of its contracts were cost type and 65% were fixed price. For the mission systems, 34% of the contracts were cost type and 66% were fixed price. And for the space systems, 74% of the contracts were cost type and 26% were fixed price. So overall for the company, the cost type contracts accounted for about 51% and the fixed price contracts accounted for about 49% of the company's 2021 sales. Finally, the company talks about its revenue breakdown based on its geographic region. For the fiscal year 2021, majority of the company's revenue comes from the United States, followed by Asia Pacific and Europe. When we look at the total overall revenue, about 86% of the company's revenue comes from the United States, 5% comes from Asia Pacific, 6% comes from Europe, and all others account for about 3% of the company's revenue. Now that we have a brief understanding of Northrop Grumman's business, its reportable segments, and the revenue breakdown, let's review the company's fundamentals by focusing on its key ratios. Hey guys, I'm on Morningstar looking at Northrop Grumman. Under key ratios, we have the financials. The first item on the list is the revenue. The revenue is the top line of the income statement. This is the amount of money that the company brings in via sales. Back in 2012, the company's revenue was about $25 billion. And for the trailing 12 months, that number was about $36 billion. Over the past 10 years, the company's revenue has slowly been trending upwards. Next is the operating income. The operating income is the amount of money that's left with the company once we subtract the cost of goods and operating expenses from the company's revenue. Back in 2012, the company's operating income was about $3 billion. And for the trailing 12 months, that number was about $3.7 billion. Northrop Grumman's operating income has stayed fairly consistent. When we look at the 10-year window, we can see that the company's operating income has slowly been trending upwards. After that, looking at the net income is the bottom line of the income statement. This is the amount of money that's left with the company once it pays for the cost of goods, operating expenses, non-operating expenses, interest on its debt obligations, and taxes. Back in 2012, the company's net income was about $2 billion. And for the year 2021, it was about $7 billion. The $7 billion figure is a lot higher than that seen in 2020 or 2019. This is primarily due to the mark-to-market pension benefit, whose returns were a lot higher than those assumed for the year. Over the past 10 years, the company's net income has been positive, which tells us that the company has always been profitable. Ideally, we want to see the company's net income, operating income, and revenue numbers to have a similar trend. That is, we want these numbers to be positive, staying steady, or increasing. Next is the dividends per share. Back in 2012, the company paid out about $2.15 per share as dividend. And for the trailing 12 months, that number was about $6.16 per share as dividend. When we look at the past 10-year trend, we can see that Northrop Grumman has been hiking its dividends every year for the past 10 years. Next is the shares outstanding. Back in 2012, the company had 253 million shares outstanding, and for the trailing 12 months, that number was about 161 million shares outstanding. Over the past 10 years, the company's shares outstanding numbers have been trending downwards. This tells us that the company is buying back its shares. This is good news for existing shareholders because when a company buys back its shares, it actually helps increase the existing shareholders' ownership within the company. After that, we have the book value per share. The book value is what we get when we subtract the company's total liabilities from its total assets. In other words, the book value is the same thing as shareholders' equity. Back in 2012, the company's book value per share was about $39.77 per share. And for the trailing 12 months, that number was about $83.02 per share. Over the past 10 years, the company's book value per share has always been positive, which tells us that the company always had more assets than liabilities on its balance sheet. Finally, looking at the free cash flow. The free cash flow is what we get when we subtract the company's capital spending from its operating cash flow. Back in 2012, the company's free cash flow was about $2,309 million. And for the year 2021, it was $2,152 million. Ideally, we want to see the company's free cash flow numbers to be positive, staying steady or increasing. Northrop Grumman's free cash flow has always been positive for the past 10 years. I will be using the 2021 free cash flow number of $2,152 million for my discounted free cash flow DCF analysis. Now let's look at the profitability of the company, focusing on the net margin. The net margin is the ratio of the company's bottom line to its top line, so it compares the company's net income to its revenue. Back in 2012, the company's net margin was about 7.84%, and for the trailing 12 months, that number was about 19.64%. Now this 19.64% is an inflated number because we saw that the company's net income number was higher due to the pension benefit. So the 2020 number of 8.64% is more reliable. What this means is every $100 that the company made in sales in the year 2020, by the time it paid for its cost of goods, operating expenses, non-operating expenses, interest on its debt obligations, and taxes, it had $8.64 left as pure profit. Next is the return on equity. The return on equity is the ratio of the company's income to its shareholders' equity. Warren Buffett prefers to only invest in securities that have a return on equity of 8% or greater every year for the past 10 years. Back in 2012, the company's return on equity was about 19.93%, and for the trailing 12 months, that number was about 59.60%. The three ways of reporting high return on equity numbers is first, when a company takes on more debt, that is when it becomes more leveraged. Second is when the company buys back its shares. And third is when a company reports higher income numbers. Northrop Grumman's return on equity numbers for the year 2021 are a little inflated due to the higher income that it showed due to the pension benefit. However, over the past 10 years, we can see that the company's return on equity has always been greater than 8%. Next is return on invested capital. This number gives an idea of how good the management is at allocating the company's capital and getting a return on that investment. Back in 2012, the company's return on invested capital was about 15.3%, and for the year 2021, it was about 27.45%. Northrop Grumman's weighted average cost of capital, also known as the company's hurdle rate, is about 5.86%. And since the company's return on invested capital is higher than the company's weighted average cost of capital, we can safely say that the management is creating value for its shareholders. Finally, looking at the interest coverage. The interest coverage is the ratio of the company's income to its interest obligations. So it gives us an idea of how many times can the company pay off its interest obligations using its income in that calendar year. Back in 2012, the company's interest coverage was about 15 times. And for the trailing 12 months, that number was about 17 times. For the year 2020, that number was about 7.3 times. Benjamin Graham, the father of value investing, preferred to only invest in securities that had an interest coverage of 5 times or higher. Now let's look at the financial health and liquidity ratios of the company. The first item on the list is the current ratio. The current ratio compares the company's current assets to its current liabilities. A current ratio of 1.0 tells us that the company has enough assets to fulfill its liabilities over the next 12 months. Ideally, we want to see the company's current ratio to be greater than 1.0. It's even better if it's greater than 1.5. Back in 2012, the company's current ratio was at 1.39, and for the latest quarter, it's at 1.30. Next, we have the quick ratio. The quick ratio is similar to the current ratio, except we disregard the inventory component. In other words, quick ratio is equal to current assets minus inventory divided by current liabilities. Ideally, we want to see the company's quick ratio to be greater than 1.0. A quick ratio of 1.0 tells us that the company does not have to rely on selling its inventory in order to fulfill its current liabilities. Back in 2012, the company's quick ratio was at 1.11, and for the latest quarter, it's at 1.10. Both the current and quick ratios for Northrop Grumman tell us that the company is liquid enough to survive for the next 12 months. Next is the financial leverage. The financial leverage is the ratio of the company's total assets to its shareholders' equity. A financial leverage of 1.0 tells us that all of the company's assets are financed via its shareholders' equity. A financial leverage of 2.0 tells us that half of the company's assets are financed via liabilities and half of them are financed via shareholders' equity. Back in 2012, the company's financial leverage was at 2.79, and for the latest quarter, it's at 3.29. Ideally, we wanted the company's financial leverage to be staying steady or decreasing. Northrop Grumman's financial leverage has slowly been trending downwards ever since 2017. Finally, looking at the debt-to-equity ratio, this ratio compares the company's total debt to its shareholders' equity. Ideally, we want to see the company's debt-to-equity ratio to be less than 1.0. Back in 2012, the company's debt-to-equity was at 0.41, and for the latest quarter, it's at 1.11. Similar to the trend that we see for the financial leverage, the company's debt-to-equity ratio has also been trending downwards ever since 2017. Northrop Grumman's financial leverage and debt-to-equity ratios are in line with the industry standard. These numbers are better than the competitor Lockheed Martin. However, they're worse than Raytheon. Now let's look at the efficiency ratios. The first item on the list is the day sales outstanding. This number gives an idea of how many days go by from the day the company recognizes its sale to the day it actually receives cash for that service rendered. Ideally, we want to see the company's day sales outstanding number to be staying steady or decreasing. What we do not want to see is a company whose day sales outstanding number is growing rapidly, as that tells us that the company's management is being aggressive with its accounting, as it's trying to recognize its revenue sooner so that it can inflate its income numbers on its income statement. Ever since 2017, the company's day sales outstanding has been trending downwards. Next is the day's inventory. This number gives an idea of how many days does the company's product sit in its inventory before it's sold. Ideally, we want to see the company's day's inventory number to be staying steady or decreasing. Back in 2012, the company's day's inventory was about 15.5 days, and for the trailing 12 months, it was about 10 days. So we can see that the company is more efficient with going through its inventory now than it was back in 2012. Finally, looking at the payables period, this number gives an idea of how many days does the company take to pay its suppliers. Back in 2012, the company took about 26.7 days to pay its suppliers, and for the trailing 12 months, it was about 25.72 days. Ideally, we want to see the company's payables period to be staying steady or decreasing. What we do not want to see is a company whose payables period is growing rapidly, as that tells us that the company's management is trying to hold on to its cash in order to artificially inflate its cash flow numbers on its cash flow statement. Northrop Grumman's payables period has stayed fairly consistent over the past 10 years. Now let's look at the company's current valuation. The first item on the list is the price-to-earnings ratio. Northrop Grumman's PE is at 10.3. The company has a price-to-book of about 5.4. The company's price to sales is at 2.0. The company's price to cash flow is at 20.2. And finally, the company has a dividend yield of 1.4%. When we compare Northrop Grumman's current valuation to its five-year average, we can see that based on the price to earnings and price to book ratio, the company is currently undervalued. Finally, if we compare Northrop Grumman to the S&P 500, an S&P 500 is the aggregate of the top 500 companies in the United States. And we can think about the S&P 500 as our opportunity cost. We can see that certain metrics such as price to earnings and price to sales show that the company is undervalued compared to the S&P 500. However, other metrics such as price to book, price to cash flow, and dividend yield show that the company is overvalued compared to the S&P 500. Now let's look at Northrop Grumman's discounted free cash flow DCF analysis. Over here, I pasted the company's 2021 free cash flow that I got from Morningstar, which was $2,152 million. Next, I'm using an annual growth rate of free cash flow to be 8%. What this means is I expect the company's free cash flow to grow at 8% every year for the next 10 years. I'm using a discount rate of 10%. What this means is I want this investment to give me a 10% annual return. In other words, I want to double my investment in about 7 years. I'm using a long-term growth rate of 2.949%. This number is in line with the 30-year U.S. Treasury yield. What this means is after the 10-year mark into perpetuity, I expect Northrop Grumman's free cash flow to grow at 2.949%. The company has 161 million shares outstanding and has a long-term debt of $12,777 million. After taking all of these inputs into account, we get the company's intrinsic value to be about $201 per share. If we compare this intrinsic value to the company's current stock price, which is about $447.4 per share, we can see that the company's current stock is trading about 2.22 times the company's intrinsic value. The way we calculate this intrinsic value is we look at what the free cash flows would be every year for the next 10 years. We sum up all those free cash flows, which come out to about $19.5 billion. Then we look at what the free cash flows would be after the 10-year mark into perpetuity. We sum all those up to get the intrinsic value to be about $45 billion. From this number, we subtract the long-term debt and divide by the shares outstanding to get the intrinsic value per share to be about $201. If you disregard the perpetuity component, in other words, if you think that Northrop Grumman is only going to grow for the next 10 years and then it'll cease to exist, then we get the intrinsic value without the perpetuity to be about $42 per share. If you disregard the debt, In other words, if you think that Northrop Grumman is going to grow into perpetuity, so there is no point for the company to worry about paying off its debt, then we get the intrinsic value without the debt to be about $281 per share. Finally, let's try to figure out what kind of return can we expect to get on this investment if you were to invest in the security at the current stock price. For that, I will run a Goldsick analysis. I will set my sell as the intrinsic value. My two value will be my current stock price, which is about $447.40 per share. And I will run this analysis by changing the company's discount rate. What I get is if I were to invest in the security at the current stock price, I can expect to get an annual return of about 7% on this investment. Overall, Northrop Grumman has good fundamentals. Due to the nature of this industry and the stock, Northrop Grumman's revenue are heavily dependent on the defense spending by the US government. Northrop Grumman has more than $76 billion in backlog. This is good news in the sense that this amount of money is eventually going to flow through the company's income statement in the upcoming quarters and years. Lastly, the consistent share buybacks and the hikes in the company's dividends over the past 10 years tells us that the company's management is shareholder friendly. Hey guys, that is all I had for you this week. Hopefully you found this video on Northrop Grumman interesting. If you like this content, please do like, share, comment, and subscribe. And if you have any suggestions on which stock I should review next, please leave it in the comment section below. I'll greatly appreciate it. Thank you.